This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In May of last year, just about a month after the Boston Marathon bombings, an FBI agent shot Ibrahim Tadashev in his Orlando, Florida apartment. The agent and two Massachusetts state police had been interrogating Tadashev about a grisly triple murder in Waltham, Mass. In 2011. The officer said that Tadashev had admitted to being at the scene of the crime along with accused Boston bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Tadashev was writing his confession when he reportedly attacked his interrogators and was shot seven times.
In the encounter in the apartment, something went wrong. Did he come out with a weapon? Was there a fight?
From the photographs that were sent to me, it's evident he was shot six times to the body and once to the head, the back of the head. It looks like a finishing shot
it's
of an
because
assassination.
Because the FBI won't let that autopsy report be released. The county's happy to release
FBI
the
officials were slow to answer questions about the shooting, but promised an investigation. 11 months later, they have yet to release their findings, but an independent review released by the Florida State Attorney last week uncovered some new details on the shooting. Reporter Susan Zulkind has been following the investigation of Ibrahim Tadashev's death and his connection to the elder Tsarnaev brother for Boston Magazine. She also talked about some of the bizarre behavior, collateral damage, and unanswered questions surrounding the case for a recent episode of This American Life called Dead Men Tell No Tales. Susan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me, Virginia.
So let's start with what happened in that Waltham apartment back in September of 2011.
So the three bodies were found in three separate rooms, face down, throat slit, each in a neat pool of blood. There was a pound and a half of marijuana dumped on two of the bodies. Right in the crime scene by one of the corpses was $5,000 cash. And there was about 8.5 pounds of pot left in the apartment as well that whoever killed the victims just decided not to take.
Who were the victims?
One of them was Brendan Mess. Another one was Raphael Tekin. And the other one was my friend, Eric Wiseman. We met when we were teenagers. We had a lot of mutual friends. I grew up around here in the one town over. And at the time of his death, my father, Norman Zulkind, who's a criminal defense attorney, was representing him for a drug charge.
So he was a known pot dealer. But this didn't appear to be a standard robbery. Certainly there was money and there was marijuana left on the scene. What signaled to you that there was something else going on?
Well, this is New England. We don't see three men with their throat slit that often. And the details surrounding the case were just so unusual. There was no forced entry into the apartment. The killers left $5,000 cash. And it seems strange to me that they would go through all the effort of dumping a pound and a half of marijuana on the bodies.
So no leads on the case for many, many years. And then the investigation after the Boston bombings happens, connecting Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim Tadashev. Tell us first how they did know each other.
One of the victims, Brendan Mess, as well as Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim Tadashev, all worked out at the same mixed martial arts gym. So these were all three trained fighters. Ibrahim Tadashev traveled in a small, tight-knit group of Chechen friends. And Tamerlan Tsarnaev, when he was living in America, kind of traveled in between the two worlds, both in this tight-knit of Chechen friends and also with his American friends that he went to high school with.
Tamerlan Tsarnaev's name was actually brought up in the initial investigation of this, I understand. By whom and what happened?
Well, Tamerlan and Brendan Mess actually hung out a lot. They were sparring partners. And so friends of Brendan Mess gave police Tamerlan Tsarnaev's name. So on a list of Brendan Mess's best friends, of people to ask questions to. And what's so interesting about this crime is, you know, Brendan Mess was a trained fighter. There's not many people who can slit the throat of a 6'3" trained fighter. So it's curious that police never seemed to question his sparring partner, the one he fought with regularly.
And of course, this brings up the idea that had Tamerlan Tsarnaev been investigated, possibly even connected to the murders, he might be behind bars and the Boston bombings may never have happened.
I mean, if you believe the FBI's contention that Ibrahim Tadashev implicated Tamerlan Tsarnaev in this triple homicide, then yes, then you have to believe that.
Well, I guess this is the whole question behind your investigation. If you believe what the FBI said, Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed and his brother Zohar on April the 19th. On May 22nd, so the following month, Ibrahim Tadashev shot 7 times by an FBI agent in his apartment during an interrogation. Now, law enforcement said that he had confessed to involvement in the triple murder. The circumstances have been so murky around what happened in that room that it's led to a number of conspiracy theories. What are some of the questions that have been raised?
One of the conspiracy theories surrounding the Tsarnaevs is that Tamerlan Tsarnaev was an informant working for the FBI. And this is actually something that Tamerlan Tsarnaev's defense brought forth just last week. Not that he was an informant, but the FBI asked him to be an informant when they questioned him in 2011, and then for some unknown reason didn't follow up on his trip to Dagestan. So the conspiracy theories, there's so many, but the basis of the conspiracy theory is that perhaps Ibrahim Tadashev knew too much.
So you began to investigate this, looking into this guy, Ibrahim Tadashev, also Chechen, also came to the United States later in his life. You began to ask questions and investigate everybody who knew him. We have a quick little montage that you used on your This American Life episode of some of the people that you spoke to and their impression of Ibrahim.
Well, okay, the one thing I noticed about him, he never smiled in his pictures or anything like that.
I used to see him at the mosque. He was a good guy, nice guy, like, you know, doing his prayers and all that.
Ibrahim, I never liked that dude, I'm going to be honest. He was like a douchebag.
To be honest, this guy seems like he had a temper.
He was, I can't speak how he was with somebody else, but with me, he was grateful, thoughtful husband.
He was a pretty good guy.
We are speaking with reporter Susan Zalkind. She investigated the connection between a grisly 2011 murder of 3 men and the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. She wrote about the investigation for Boston Magazine and told the story for This American Life. And that's where we got this montage of some of the people who gave impressions of Ibrahim Tadashev.
It's funny, I went looking for answers into my friend's death and ended up entering the world of his alleged killer.
And it leads you down to Florida after you find Ibrahim's girlfriend on Facebook, give her a friend request. She finally responds to you. You flew down to meet with her and you interview her and publish some of that interview on Boston Magazine's website, if I have that right. Now, just a week later, she calls you from a detention center. Here's just a clip of that conversation.
Have you been speaking to the FBI since you've been detained?
No. Oh, my gosh. Thank God, no. I don't want to talk. Maybe I don't have more problems now.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to talk. No.
Okay.
I just want to be the story. I just want to see my mom, my family. I just want to go to Russia.
Why was she detained?
The first time she was detained was while Ibrahim Tadashev was still alive. And what she told me is she'd been questioned by the FBI for several weeks at that point. And she and Ibrahim Tadashev were cooperating. But at this interview, they asked her a new question. Instead of asking questions about the Boston Marathon bombing and the Tsarnaevs, they told her they thought Ibrahim Tadashev did something else in 2011 with a knife. And that's when they asked her to basically inform on Ibrahim Tadashev to keep them updated on his activities. She told the agents she didn't know anything, he wasn't doing anything, and at that point they detained her for having an expired student visa. Ibrahim was shot 5 days later.
And she was indeed jailed because of the interview with you, or that's what she was told by the FBI, is that true?
Yeah, so she told me it was because she gave an interview to me. That's why she was being deported. I called around frantically to immigration officials, to immigration attorneys, trying to find out why she was being deported, if there was any other reason. And what I found out was because of her deferred action status, it actually was legal for her to be deported for speaking to me. People on deferred action don't have the same amount of rights as somebody who has a visa, for example.
She was not the only person in Ibrahim Tadashev's immediate surroundings who was disappeared at this time. Azer Moraliev, a young man who barely knew Ibrahim by his reckoning, was arrested, interrogated, jailed.
That's what was so interesting and honestly spooky while I was doing this reporting is Tatiana was deported. Her friend, Azer Moraliev, was held in detention, actually in a high-risk facility for a month and then later deported to Tajikistan. Ibrahim Tadashev's other friend, Kusein Taramov, left the country to go back to Russia, and he had a green card, and he was suddenly put on a no-fly list. So all these people were suddenly barred out of the country, not allowed to come back in. And I talked to a federal investigator who told me this was actually standard operating procedure in a terrorism investigation, which
so
was,
this
I guess,
wasn't a murder investigation anymore.
You know, that's where it's so confusing, and where do you draw the line? Was this a terrorist investigation, or was this a murder investigation? Nowhere has it ever been alleged that Ibrahim Tadashev had anything to do with the Boston Marathon bombings. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point they were treating this case like a terrorism investigation.
We'll be back with Susan Zollkind, who investigated the connection between a grisly 2011 triple homicide and the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. So when we come back, new details on the case that were turned up by an independent investigation released just last week. That's when word of mouth continues. Please stay with us. This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Boston Magazine reporter Susan Zollkind is with us, and she's discussing her investigation into a really complicated case, the possible connection between a grisly 2011 triple homicide in Waltham, Massachusetts, and the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. Her story reveals that law enforcement may have failed to adequately investigate the murders in 2011 and how the Boston Marathon bombings motivated them to look more closely at the relationship between accused bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev and his friend Ibrahim Tadashev. Tadashev was killed by FBI agents in May of 2013, moments before he was allegedly going to write a statement implicating himself and Tsarnaev. Susan Zollkind's investigation of this interconnected story was reported in Boston Magazine and was also the subject of a recent episode of This American Life called Dead Men Tell No Tales. Now, just last week, a report of an independent investigation of the shootings by the Florida State Attorney uncovered some new details, including a copy of the confession that Tadashev was writing when he was killed. The FBI has not yet produced its report on the investigation of the events of May 2013 when Tadashev was shot, which from the outside appears to involve three law enforcement officers, a suspect, in one room, which leads to the question, what's taking so long? Susan Zollkind picks it up from here.
So what we found and what was confirmed in the reports that came out last week from a Florida state prosecutor doing an independent review into the FBI shooting of Ibrahim Tadashev was that before that interview, law enforcement didn't have much evidence connecting Ibrahim Tadashev to this murder case. At that point, he was only a person of interest. And so what we found was it was only after he was shot, the investigators started going around to his gyms in Florida, asking for basic information about him.
They also told Ibrahim's ex-wife that they had DNA evidence that Ibrahim was involved in the Waltham murders. Now, if they had this evidence, why was he being questioned at his home instead of arrested?
Now, according to the reports that were released, the investigators didn't have enough evidence to link Ibrahim Tadashev to the crime. They were questioning him because in earlier interviews, he wasn't totally transparent about where he was in August and September of 2011.
So they may have just been bluffing with his wife.
That's totally possible. There's really no way to tell either way. It's also possible that they did have DNA evidence, but maybe it wasn't enough. Maybe it wasn't close enough to the crime scene. DNA can be telling. That's not necessarily the nail in the coffin so far as a murder case goes.
So you spoke with David Boeri. He's from WBUR, this Boston public radio station. He's been covering crime in Boston for, 20, 30 years now. he talked to some of his law enforcement contacts who he'd either spoken to or read reports of those who were present in the room when Ibrahim Tadashev was killed. You got an account from him of what law enforcement officials said. Let's just get a glimpse of that.
In those rooms, if you've ever seen tapes of interrogations taking place, and I have, they are fraught with tension, accusation. They're pushing him. That's what interrogators do. Push him. No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. You're telling me this, that, whatever. It's churning up conflict and stress. And they are trained to deal in stress when they're doing interrogations, to break down their suspect. At some point, close to midnight, according to the accounts of one of the people in that room, Tadashev said, "Look, I was there, but I didn't do the murders."
That is WBUR's David Boyeri speaking with our guest, Susan Zalkind, about the five-hour questioning that ended with the shooting of Ibrahim Tadashev by an FBI agent in Florida. Now, this FBI investigation into the shooting death has been going on for more than a year now. Susan, any revelations in this case?
Last week ended this 10 months of silence. We have the report from the Florida prosecutor, Jeff Ashton, came out, which is about 600 pages of documents related to the shooting, as well as the FBI and the DOJ report. Now, all of these reports cleared the agent in the room. They said the shooting was justified. He shot in self-defense. But they also gave a little bit more information about this confession and about what actually went on in the room. And a lot of what David Boyeri reported earlier was correct. But here's what happened. Ibrahim Tadashev didn't want to go to the police station, so they interviewed him in his home. The trooper and the agent said they were acting on the fly, so they went into his house, into his small apartment, and they were questioning him for hours. This interview started at 7:30, and finally around 10:30, he said, "Okay, I was involved, but I didn't know," and then the name is redacted, "was going to kill anybody." And about an hour or so later, that's when the agents ask him to write down his confession. Now, we're not exactly sure what Tadashev said before he was asked to write down the confession. We do know that the state troopers in the room were recording this conversation, at least in part, but they stopped recording right as Ibrahim Tadashev was writing down his confession, right at this violent point where the FBI agent and the state trooper in the room look away. And that's where Ibrahim Tadashev, who's writing on a coffee table, he picks up the coffee table, he slams the FBI agent in the head, and then instead of leaving the house, runs in the kitchen, is looking for something. He's looking through drawers, according to the accounts, and he gets a hold of a hollow pole, the handle of a mop or a broom, and starts charging at the agent and the Massachusetts state trooper in the room. And that's when the agent shoots three times. Tadashev goes down, but then he doesn't stay down. He springs up again, and that's when the agent shoots four more times, and Ibrahim Tadashev is dead.
Well, after all of this, Susan, you've done a lot of reporting, gone through a lot of different sources. Are you any more clear on whether Tadashev had anything to do with the murder of your friend back in 2011?
Well, that's what's so interesting. In the documents, in the redacted documents, after hours and hours of interviews, he said he was involved in a robbery with Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Actually, the name is redacted, but he didn't know there was going to be a murder. The confession says, "My name is Ibrahim Tadashev. I want to tell the story about the robbery me and Tam did in Waltham in September of 2011. Now, not every single word in this unredacted copy of the confession is clear, but the last four words are. And the last sentence, it says, "We put them on the ground and then," and the last four words are, "tape their hands up." Now, what's so disconcerting about this is I talked to someone who saw the crime scene, who found the bodies, and she told me that the hands weren't taped up. They weren't taped up and they weren't tied. So you asked, has there been any closure in this unsolved triple murder case of my friend? And the answer is no. In the statement from the Middlesex County District Attorney last week, it says the investigators are still trying to identify all parties responsible for that terrible incident. What that says to me is that this case isn't closed, and they're potentially looking for other people that might still be involved.
Well, many, many more questions there. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Susan Zelkind, a reporter for Boston Magazine, who recently collaborated with This American Life on the episode called Dead Men Tell No Tales. You'll find a link to listen to it or to read Susan's story at Boston Magazine, where you will also find the original unredacted documents and photographs that she discovered during her reporting. Links to find all of that are at wordofmouthradio.org.